What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Organic Guy Podcast. I am your host, The Organic Guy. This is your home of organic conversations where you get to hear from various thought leaders across the organic movement. Today, I have a very, very special guest for you. And this guest actually reminds me of why I started this podcast, to share with you conversations and stories of how organic is making an impact to people's lives across the world. Well, I'm not sure if you remember this headline from the New York Times, which asked, "Can eating organic food lower your cancer risk?" Well, on the article, they go on to cite a French study that followed 70,000 adults for 5 years, most of whom were women, and the study reported that most frequent consumers of organic food had a 25% fewer cancers, especially for lymphoma and breast cancer, than those who never ate organic. Well, my guest today, Daz Sarafin, can tell us something or two about this because she is a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and a breast cancer survivor. She runs a blog, Organic Can Survivor, on social media, where she shares the power of organic food and lifestyle together with her experiences and lessons that she's learned with the fight with cancer. So without further ado, Daz, thank you very much for joining me in the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
I always like to start sort of giving the viewers a little bit of a background. So where did you grow up? And did you grow up in the city? Did you grow up in the rural areas? Like, how was it growing up as a child?
So I was born and raised in the Philippines. As far as I can remember, I had a pretty much really fun childhood. But in connection to what we're discussing today, it's typical Filipino food. You know, it's mostly meat, fish, and chicken. But my parents opted to have us eat seafood and vegetables and fruits. But it's mostly very oily, very sweet, very salty. My dad, he had a chicken business. So he's a distributor of, we call it dressed chicken in our city. So I know you're all aware that Philippines is a cluster of islands. So we're in the middle part. It's basically rural. And yeah, you can see trees everywhere. You can just throw a seed in there and it'll just grow, that kind of environment. But most of my childhood, since my dad has a chicken business, we would eat it every day, every single day. And now that time, I think organic food is not yet that known, especially in third world countries. Whatever is sold, you eat.
So I guess it's not something like you thought about, like, oh, there's this option called organic, maybe I want to look at it. So that is not something that crossed your mind.
Mm-hmm. I only knew about organic food when I was already working in the bigger city, which is Manila, the capital of the Philippines.
Okay, so and right now you are in the United States, so When was the transition from moving from Philippines to the United States? And did the United States sort of give you the oomph? Oh, there's this thing called organic. Maybe I might want to look at it.
Yeah, my curiosity with organic food actually started in Manila. So after I graduated, probably after a year or two after I graduated, I moved to Manila to work as a pharmaceutical representative. And when I was there, I was exposed to a wider kind of society where it's so diverse and so advanced than the place that I grew up in. And I got into fitness. I got into learning about health. So when I started researching about it, I know the benefits. So it's clean without pesticides and stuff. But I didn't really take it seriously because I got used to the usual food, which we all are. And then 2016, I was just laying in my bed and I was playing with my iPad. And sometimes when you're like holding yourself, I was holding myself in the neck and there was a big lump. And I asked one of my doctors, one of my friend doctors, and she said, "You might probably want to have that check because it's usually TB or lymphoma." So I got scared because somehow I have a medical background. I understand the terminology. So I did. They did fine needle aspirate biopsy, but it came out negative. So they gave me antibiotics, but I wasn't at peace with it. I went to a bigger hospital. They suggested that I get a surgery. And then my doctor said that you might as well want to have yourself check if there's more cysts that grew. And I told her about my cyst in my breast, which was there since I was 15. She had it removed, my lymph nodes too. And unfortunately, it came out lymphoma. And my breast, she removed, I think, 28 cysts and it was also cancer. And I was diagnosed, I think, 3 days before I left for the U.S. And my response was like, okay, this is the situation. What am I going to do next? What's the percentage of my survival rate? Am I going to live? Is this treatable? So my mind was always like, this is the situation. Let's move forward. There's no like time to be emotional and something like that. Because I think this is the training that I had with my job. We just keep on moving forward. And then when I got home, that's when everything just like sinked in.
Yeah, so I'm trying to follow sort of your journey on this process. So I'm guessing you went to the hospital to actually receive the news. I'm trying to go into your shoes and try to understand, like, how was that anticipation? Like, were you actually prepared, like, mentally for, you know, anything that can happen at that moment?
I wasn't prepared. I was just, this is just going to get better. Because I was taking medications. I was really thinking that it's going to shrink, but it didn't. Probably I got very nervous after surgery, waiting for the biopsy result. That was very nerve-wracking to me. And then the thing is, the doctor didn't tell me what it was. I was the one who took the result from the laboratory, read it. So I knew it myself before the doctor told me. When I got into her clinic, I told her, "Doctor, I have lymphoma and breast cancer." Then she said, "I was practicing, how am I going to tell you, because it's two." And that's when I told her, "What are we going to do next? I need to know what's next in the timeline."
That's kind of weird because, I'm just trying to imagine such a kind of situation. Maybe the doctor will be more careful from the patient not seeing the results or something like that. So in this situation, it seems like you were working in the hospital already.
No, I wasn't working in the hospital, but I had a history working in the hospital as an intern. In the Philippines, it's really not like that. I don't know if it changed when I was here, but you can just get your result.
And then in these situations, like, was there a history of cancer in your family or something like that? So, or is this something that abruptly happened?
So when I flew here, they did genetics tests. They tested my genes and there was nothing. Both sides of the family, there was nothing.
Yeah, this was the first case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for those who don't know what lymphoma is or breast cancer is, can you sort of like give them an overview what it is and how it actually affects your body?
So the first one that I had was ductal carcinoma in situ. So basically, I'm just trying to explain this in the simplest form. So it's the first stage of cancer, and eventually the cells evolve and then it becomes, you know, it metastasizes different parts of the body. So basically, that's the seed that grew. It's already growing. Lymphoma, basically, it's the cancer of the lymph nodes. The lymph nodes is the drainage of the body. It drains the body of all the toxins, gets rid of it. And probably mine was, it was very congested. I had so much toxins in my body because lymphoma, it's not genetics that it causes it. That's what the doctors told me. So it's environmental. I probably was exposed to a chemical that I didn't know of, I've been eating food that I wasn't aware that had chemicals that over time it resulted to the cancer. So when I reviewed my life, the food intakes that I did, it was always in a rush. I would eat fast food every day. Everything was processed food. So I was like, this makes sense now. I eat fruits and vegetables, but it's all covered with pesticides and fertilizers. Even the apple that we eat has wax. And I didn't know about that until I had the time to read everything during my chemo. I really want to understand why I got it. I really want to understand how it happened to me because I was working out a lot. I thought I was eating healthy. I was eating healthy processed food.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting because, you know, when such a kind of hard times come into your life, so it gives you time to sort of evaluate and try to see what am I not doing right. So that was like your eye-opening moment. And then you mentioned earlier about, you know, chemotherapy. You know, personally have had people around me who have gone through the process of chemotherapy. So I just want to know from you, I mean, some of the stories I've had personally from chemotherapy, not always the greatest, but from your perspective, how did chemotherapy affect you and what are some of the things that you can say you experienced from that treatment?
Okay, I'll start with this. The good thing that I got from chemotherapy was the realization that when your body gives up on you, everything else doesn't matter. The only thing that will matter is your relationship with the people around you, with God, and a realization that if you survive this stage, what can you do for people to help them change their lives for the better? That's one good thing that I got from chemotherapy. However, the other side, if I had a really bad enemy, I wouldn't even wish it to them. I had ABVD, adriamycin, bleomycin, get into the chemotherapy couch. I stay there for at least 6 to 7 hours every 2 weeks. And when I get home, you know, you're like floating
Yeah.
You can't think. It's all clouded.
Okay.
You don't remember what happened after chemotherapy sessions. And I cannot do human restroom breaks because my digestive system does not function for the whole week. And then that's just how chemotherapy affects you. I lost my hair, of course, and it didn't go back to what it was before. It's thinner now. And I still have the mark. I don't know if you see it, the mark here where they tested.
Yeah.
Here, they tested bleomycin,
yeah,
on the lung chemotherapy drug, and it's still there. They drilled. They put a tube in my left arm that goes straight to my heart, to where chemotherapy drugs goes through.
When you describe it like that, it's an interesting of how the human body can really adapt and create something new out of, you know, nothing. And then, you know, when you describe like one day you really can't do anything at all, but then a few weeks later, your body sort of recovers from that harsh reality of what it's exposed to. You know, it makes me imagine how powerful a human body is. So you've discovered that you have cancer. You've gone through this treatment like chemotherapy. What is your realization of organic food? What is that moment that you say, you know what, maybe I should give organic food a chance?
Oh, it's definitely right away. It's definitely right away. Even until now, I get criticisms. Why do you have to eat organic? And sometimes you can't really avoid it when you're out with your family or with friends. There's no organic food served in restaurants. Or if you look for organic food, they'll say, go somewhere else, you know. But no one will ever understand your stand unless they've gone through that. You know, what I would always say, you will never understand what a cancer patient goes through until you've been through. I really try my best that 80% of my food is organic, because sometimes it's very difficult, especially when you're out. But I make sure that I detox after that. Let's put it this way. Sometimes organic food is very hard to reach.
Yeah.
The quality of organic food. But you'll know when you're used to organic food, you'll know the taste if it's organic or not. I feel good when my food is organic. I feel at peace that I'm feeding my body what it needs. Yes, we buy $99 produce. If you keep on eating that, how is your body going to be after 5 years or 10 years? Is it worth saving the money right now with the medical bills in the future? So that's how I would always weigh things. Sometimes, you know, when you have financial difficulty, you would think, is this really worth it? And then you think like, this is for my body and I'm going to buy it anyway.
It's always a matter of perspective, really, on how you decide to look at life. So, I mean, you give a very good example there of, is it worth for me to save this kind of money so that, you know, I can buy some cheap food that might, you know, give me a bad reaction to the body or might increase my toxins in the body. So your framing actually makes a lot of sense of how you should approach life, especially for organic. We know it can be expensive. You know, I am a student right now, but I always find a way to buy organic whenever I do, because it's in my conscience. Sometimes even when I buy like the conventional food, I'm sort of guilty for doing it because it's just not in my DNA. So when you have that particular paradigm, it just makes your life a little bit easier versus someone who doesn't have that, you know, paradigm of, you know what, I think organic food is better for me. So that paradigm matters a lot. And then let's say you start consuming organic food. Do you start to notice some changes to your life? Like, what are some of the things you're noticing when you're consuming organic food after, let's say, your chemotherapy? Are there some signs you are noticing?
Oh, yeah. My digestive system, it's just even better. So much better. When I can't do groceries and I'll just, you know, get whatever's available, I feel it right away. My gut is so irritable. It's the acid. It just, your body just tells you, this is not what I need right now. I need what will make me strong. The body is very powerful. Just feed it what it needs, clean, good food, and it's really going to heal you. The body can heal itself. That's how amazing God made our body. And, you know, He knows every single cell in your body, and you just have to feed it what it needs. Sometimes we don't realize that because of society, what society is feeding us. The alcohol is good for you. Have fun, you know? Yeah, we have a promo for this, like 5 items for $1, you know? But what's behind that? What are you going to do after 5 years when you get sick? Is that really worth it?
I mean, I'm in this space, you know, I talk about organic food a lot and I always get criticism whatever I give out a post and about organic food. So I'm wondering, in your case, do you also get some criticism when you share, you know, your journey of consuming organic food? And what are some of this criticism that you receive?
Oh yeah, a lot. Like a lot.
Okay.
Like, for example, I posted something that I only eat organic food, And then someone who was very close to me said, "You're such a hypocrite. You're not eating all organic food." And this is a person who doesn't even know what's inside my fridge, what I do, what I eat the whole day. So you get hurt, you know. You don't criticize people just because of what you see right now for a 5-minute post. You don't criticize people when you don't even know the whole story. So criticism is a part of it. Yeah. And for me, you can criticize all you want. What comes first is my body. You know, I might eat non-organic food sometimes, but you balance it. You make sure that you overload your body with organic foods and vegetables, because it's not organic all the time. But when you get the chance, as much as possible, organic food is paramount over anything. Yeah, just shut yourself down with whatever criticism that you hear. It's always going to be there. What's important is your relationship with your body and how you take care of it. Because when you are in your sick bed, when you are in your sick bed, it's just going to be you and your body there dealing with the disease.
That's definitely true. And for me, actually, what most people don't understand about living an organic lifestyle is the mentality that it gives you. It's not necessarily the food. The food is very, very important, but it's the mentality that it creates in your mind. So for me, it's very easy, since I already have that organic mentality that, you know, everything I have to buy has to be organic. So I'm very conscious whenever I get access to a product, I always want to know what ingredients were used. So it's this small nuisance that a lot of people don't understand the idea of trying to live an organic lifestyle. So for example, if I go to my family member and they don't always cook organic, I'm not going to say no to their food. I'm going to eat their food, although it's not organic. So it's just having that mindset of, hey, this is what I believe in. This is the kind of food that I want to eat. And this is the kind of food, at least in my house, I'm going to eat. So that mentality alone sets you apart like 70, 80, 90% of the people. And that is what people don't actually understand. So a criticism just from, you know, one thing just completely don't make sense. It's actually out of context. And when I see such a kind of criticism, it actually doesn't make sense to me. I see a lot of people who don't have a lot of things to do. That's what I see.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, when I listen to your story, it's a story of really perseverance. It's a story of inspiration of, you know, how humans can, we can go into the deep waters but still get out of it. So, you know, I'm just trying to imagine there are a lot of things that, you know, you've come to realize about yourself, and, you know, having cancer has thought about you. So, you know, from your perspective, what are some of the things do you think, you know, going through this journey has taught you about life, about everything? What are some of the things that you've gotten from it?
Cancer really changed me.
Yeah.
Cancer changed you. It's not worth wasting your time dealing on negativity. Life is too short. Literally, life is too short. And we only get to live a few years. And life is beautiful, no matter how hard it is. Even though we go through rough times, there's always something beautiful in it that you can look forward to. When I was on my deathbed, I would always think, what did I do with my life? Did I do good to other people? Did I, for myself, that inspired others? I guess my point is, always try to leave something good for others. Take care of yourself, because you're there for a reason. God gave you life for a reason. In your life, someone's looking at your life. They're going to be either, I don't want to be like that, or they're going to be like, I want to be like her. Not to give you pride or to put yourself in higher than anyone else. You know, it may sound cliche, but there's already too much evil in the world. It doesn't really cost you a lot to, like, give something good to someone, or be kind to someone, or just a simple, you're beautiful, you are strong. Things like that, words like that, you don't know the impact of that to others. And it took me two cancers to realize that, because we're used to life. We're used to, like, what we're surrounded with. If you're surrounded with negativity, you get negative. If you're surrounded with positivity, you get positive. But if you're surrounded with different kinds of stuff, why don't you make the difference? Why can't you be different and make things better for others? So that's what I came up with the blog, to give simple nuggets to people that your body can make wonders for you. Just take care of, you know, your emotions. How are you dealing with your emotions? Do you spend a lot of time stressing about things? Because your emotions affect your health, and we don't realize that. The food that you eat, the way that you think, no matter how healthy you are, if you think so negatively or you harbor so much hatred towards other people, it doesn't make sense at all. Most importantly, we all die. Our body goes to dirt. What's going to happen spiritually? What is your relationship with God? That's the most important thing. Because if you have a good relationship with God up there, everything will just fall into place.
Wow, I think that's an amazing perspective to have. Sounds simple, as you say, it sounds cliche, but I think that is a good mental attitude to have. Positivity, I mean, should be, you know, like a given that you should be more positive towards other people. You should want to eat better food. You should want to have a better relationship with God. Those are really, really nuggets that a lot of people can agree to, a lot of people can aspire to. And, you know, through your story as well, I try to imagine it's a difficult journey. And through that journey, I guess you sort of need some emotional support, some mental support and people around you. So in your case, I sort of guess it's your family. So how important is it to have that support system, like a family that can sort of help you through this journey?
It's very important. Because if you're in that situation when you're feeling future is very blurry, negative things get into your head. That's why the social workers would always ask, how are you doing? How's your mental health? Because beyond the physical, the mental is sometimes what makes you even more weaker. I am so blessed to have a family with a strong faith that when you get weak, they will remind you of your worth. They will remind you of your fight that God is fighting for you. And they remind you of their love. That's so big that there's no reason for you to give up. But a lot of times people don't have that. Family doesn't have to be by blood. You can be a friend supporting a cancer patient. Things like, how are you doing? That means a lot. Saying things that you are strong, no matter how hard it is. Those things affect someone going through chemo a lot because they know that they are loved. They know that they have someone to be there for them. And I just want to share that my family was so amazing that on my 34th birthday, I was having hot flashes. I was bald. I was bloated. I felt so ugly. They surprised me on my birthday. So that was amazing. If you know someone who's going through cancer, even if he's not your friend, even if it's just an acquaintance, always throw encouraging words, words of positivity, because you don't have any idea how big the impact of that is.
Wow. I think that's powerful as well, because these are some of the things that we take for granted. For example, you know, when we are with friends, we don't always give them the kind of support they deserve. You know, we are all going through like difficult situations ourselves. So we don't always like take those small difficulties to say, how are you doing? Or, hey, everything's going to be right. Or don't worry about it. But I guess in your case where it's a life and that situation, you know, having a family around just makes things a little bit easier and simpler and sort of makes you say, you know what? I think there's something to live for. So I do think that is also something that can be very, very impactful in the long run. So I think this is where I like to sort of digress to the rapid fire question. So this is a segment where I have prepared for you some 10 questions. So I will be throwing to you a question and then I expect like a quick answer from you. And then the whole idea behind this is to get the listeners to get to know you a little bit better, maybe on something that didn't come across the conversation that we've had so far. So are you ready to have some fun?
Oh yeah, I'm ready for it.
Let's get started. So the first question is, what was the first career you dreamed of having as a kid?
I want to be a doctor.
If you had to eat one meal going forward, what meal would it be?
Watermelon. That's it.
Interesting choice. Who is your favorite historical figure?
Historical figure, probably Queen Elizabeth.
So the fourth question is, what sport do you like to watch or participate in?
Swimming. I love the water.
If you could have any animal in the world as a pet, what would it be and why?
A dog. But I can't really touch them because I have a trauma with dogs. So I wish.
So the sixth question, what is your favorite beverage, coffee or tea?
Tea.
Seventh question, what is your favorite book?
I would say it's the Bible.
So the eighth question, are you an early bird or a night owl?
I'm a night owl. My brain just works really hard at night. In the morning, I'm sluggish.
So the ninth question is, what quote resonates with you most?
It's more of a Bible verse than a quote. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've seen that in my life so many times, especially with cancer, two cancers.
Powerful. And the 10th question is, knowing what you know now, what will you give to your 18-year-old self?
To my 18-year-old self? A bunch of organic food. You have to eat all of that. Yeah, okay. and the knowledge that I have right now.
Yeah, nice. I think that was fun. And thank you very much for agreeing to take part of this particular segment. You can just share with the audience how they can get you through social media.
So if you want to know what I feed my body after all of my cancer, I'm organic_can.survivor on Instagram. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to ask anything. If you need support, if you're going through rough times, I'm just here. We cancer patients and survivors know what it's like. So let's kick cancer in the butt.
Your story is so inspirational. And when I first came across your social media, it just struck to me why I started this podcast is because I want to find stories like this. I want to share stories like this so that people can understand some of the great impact that organic food can have in people's lives. So your story resonated with me. It's so impactful, and I can't wait for, you know, a lot more people to know about this story and to know your journey so far. So thank you very much for, you know, making time to be part of this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to following your work. So it's such a pleasure.